Lecture 23, Jesus and the New Testament.
Hello, and welcome to lecture number 23 in our series on the foundations of Western civilization. In this lecture, we'll turn to Jesus and the New Testament. We'll turn to a set of phenomena that we can see so very clearly in hindsight, were actually among the most momentous developments of the Pax Romana, the emergence of a new religious faith that eventually would sweep the Roman world before it. Now, mark well, I said we can see in retrospect. One of the great advantages, of course, of the historian's craft is that we predict the past. Our hindsight is always 20/20. Our foresight, somewhat less able. So today, we're going to pose a series of paradoxes as we talk about this first century world. We know how it turned out. But it is certainly not the case that contemporaries would have noted these events with the same kind of significance, would have invested these events with the same kind of significance that we have, would have seen what their consequences would be. So that means in a very real way, we sort of have two jobs here. We want to talk a little bit about what actually happened, and then we want to try to begin at least, we'll follow this up in some later lectures, but we want to begin forming some impression of why was this so very important. Now, we have to avoid there the temptation to say that it seems so obviously important to us in retrospect that it must have been important from the very beginning. Let's assume that that's not the case, and let's see if we can explain the importance. Now, why is it that this all seems paradoxical? Well, the people who followed Jesus, we can call them Christians, were a tiny sect in a small, backward, unimportant province of the Roman Empire. Now, I often say if we were time travelers and we went back and we stopped the clock at a certain point, we said, all right, now predict what's going to happen. I mean, if you went back to Palestine in the very early years of the first century AD, you wouldn't say, oh, great things are going to come from here. The Mediterranean world was very rich in mythical experience, in religious experience, in philosophical experience. There had been many innovations, to be sure, but it wasn't particularly clear that another innovation was called for. It wasn't particularly clear why any newcomer, religious, philosophical, whatever, would have an easy way of making its way in this Roman world. The cults of the Roman world, we may regard as silly, superstitious, odd, peculiar, sort of amusing artifacts of literature. But in point of fact, for the Roman people, these were not simply part of people's private sphere and not simply amusements. Religion constituted what one great historian has called ta patria, paternal things, part of your paternal inheritance, part of your way of living. Think, the calendar was fixed by religious ceremonies. The basic events of life revolved around religious ceremonies. The public buildings of most towns included temples, buildings dedicated to the gods. Literary culture was full of the gods. One could not pick up a great poem, a great work of literature from antiquity and not pretty soon encounter the gods and the goddesses marking that text. So religion was something that people in the ancient world experienced every day, and it was part of their community. It was part of their family. It was part of their culture. So for something to come along and eventually to sweep all of that away is not something we would predict, but it is something that we will have to try to explain. So that's one interesting set of problems. There's really no way to go back before the fact and predict that the Christian phenomenon is going to happen. In the second place, if we're thinking as historians, just as historians for a moment, we would have to say that our texts, our sources, our documents are late, limited, and partisan. As we'll see in just a moment, I'll put some flesh and sinew on this skeleton. The basic texts that we have come 30, 40, 50, 60 years after the events about which they're written. Now, for ancient history, that's not so bad. That's pretty close. For modern history, we would say that's pretty remote evidence. But it's also important to say we don't really have a lot of evidence. And it's also important to say we don't really have any evidence from the other side. It isn't as if we have a kind of a balanced view, several different people taking widely divergent views and enabling us to triangulate among all these views.